hypomone. That means to stand up. In other words, you need to come under the shelter and the canopy of my word. That's what patience is. You stand under the covering of God, trusting that God is going to shelter you through the storm. Because it's about to rain, all kinds of stuff. He says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation.
I thank God for his faithfulness, for his love, and for his presence in our midst. We've just come through a series of meetings. We celebrated Rosh Hashanah, we celebrated Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Sukkot. And the theme that God gave to us through those feast days, which are the feast of the Lord, not the feast of the Jews or the Israelites, the feasts of God. The theme God gave to us was, let God arise. Amen? And I believe that God is going to rise up mightily in us and through us. Praise God. Amen. Well, this morning, it is going to be my privilege to go through a whole series of teaching. Basically, a compilation of some of the things that we've been talking about so far. So in a sense, it might seem like I might be going all over the place, but we're still in the same central theme of letting God arise. And some of the things that we're going to talk about are going to address things that hinder the purposes of God in our lives, and things that help things or help God arise in our lives. Amen? So I want you to explore with me. But as we go through it, one of the words that the Lord gave to us, I guess about 3 months ago, I think it was in September, was that the spirit of seducing spirits had been released into the world in a great intensity, that deception is going to reign in the lives of so many, and what they knew to be true, they will start doubting. The thing about deception is that when you are being deceived, you don't know it. It's baked into the system. It takes grace and God's mercy for somebody who's experiencing deception to know that they've been deceived. I wonder sometimes about how somebody that is suffering from a manic situation recognizes the fact that something my thinking is wrong. It amazes me how that happens. Because if you're mad, how do you know that you're mad? It is the mercy of God that helps people discern that something is different. Amen? And sometimes in life, deception takes place in plain view. In plain view, right in front of you. And that deception becomes so true because certain information is removed. And that's why it's important for you and I to study the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. Because deception comes about when you do not know the truth. And not every new truth or new revelation is the truth. Hear me? Because there are people who who spend their time trying to find new truth and make up new truth. And they will so set it up that you get confused. For example, let me ask you this question. How many months in a year? 12. Okay. How many weeks in a year? 52. Wow. 12 months in a year. 52 weeks in a year. Okay. How many weeks in a month? 4. Okay, 12 times 4 is 48. But we said it's 52 weeks. So 52 weeks minus 48 is what? 4. How many weeks in a month? We said 4. So there must be 13 months in a year. Because he said 4 weeks a month, 12 months in a year, 48, but you say it's 52 weeks. So somebody's cheating you a whole month of pay. How did we come to that answer? It's an oversimplification of how many weeks there are in a year, because we did not count out all the, 4 weeks in a year, in a month, make 1 month. 7 times 4 is what? 28. How many 28s do you have in the month? So there's 29, 30, and some months, 31. But by reducing what is true, I got you a whole month. Are we together? This is how deception takes place. Information removed and twisted so you get a different answer. Are there really 52 weeks in a year? Absolutely. Is it true that many months have 4 weeks? Absolutely. But is that all the truth? No. And so many times, people get deceived by the manipulation of information. And so before you believe anything, become a Berean Christian. Check the Word of God. What is the context of the statement? Who said it? And to whom was it said? And what was said, was it supposed to be for just a particular people at a particular time? Or was it meant to be an all-encompassing word for all times? Praise the Lord. Let me ask you. Are sacrifices only relevant in this lifetime as long as the world lives? Or is there a continuation in the Word of God of sacrifices even after? What does the Word of God say? You don't know? You're not sure? Okay, so I'm not going to give you the answer. Well, the fact is, sacrifices continue. But so then, what is the purpose of sacrifices? Sacrifices ultimately then are an expression of thanksgiving. Here and then. Will praise continue? Now and after? Interesting. So there are certain things that continue forever. Because of particular expression. Why praise? Thanksgiving. Why sacrifices? Thanksgiving. An expression of gratitude of the heart. Praise the Lord. Why is it that we must live wholly unto the Lord? Because we are thankful that He set us free, and therefore we do not continue in sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, when we think about God, we've got to think about what is important to God. Is there going to be a time that souls are not important to God? Never. Souls are always going to be important to God. Interesting. Okay. Is there any reason to preach? Even after death. The Bible says Jesus went and He preached to those that were already in the grave. During the millennium, preaching is taking place. But the millennium is after we have been raptured and everything. So what's the purpose of preaching? The purpose of preaching is to remind us again of what God has done. Which boils down back to what? Thanksgiving. That we are reminded, after all of that, what He did. That's why in the resurrection, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, He's still going to be having the scars. To remind us, this is what He did for me, so that no devil in hell or regeneration of the devil can deceive those that are saved already. Hello? Don't fool yourself. If there is a devil that was created good and he still rebelled against God, that there is no possibility of some other angel following the same pathway and people following the pathway of death. How many people have you known that were anointed of God, powerful people, strong believers, and today they are no longer serving God? Know anybody like that? They've experienced the power of God. Actually, the Bible tells us about them in the book of Hebrews. That happens. So the Word of God says that we need to be diligent in making certain that our hearts are not corrupted. And if you want to protect your heart, you've got to separate yourself from practitioners of evil, people. people that speak death rather than life. And many times their speaking of death sounds so good. It sounds like they're saying the right thing, but they are lost, messed up. So we are admonished in the Word of God. Separate yourself from those kind of things. Amen? Let's look at Romans 16 and verse 17, from 17. I'm going to read a few verses here. It says in Romans 16, 17, it says, "Now I do what? Beseech you, brethren," it says, "mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned," and what? "Have coffee with them." Take them for lunch. Is that what it says? What does it say? Avoid them. If you want to self-destruct, attach yourself to people that generate divisions and generate offenses. He said, avoid such people. Stay away. Because you've not learned that doctrine. What doctrine is that? It's the doctrine of love. Wait a minute, Pastor. If I love them, doesn't that mean that I have to embrace them? No. He says, if you love them, stay away from them. Love yourself first. Stay away from people that generate offenses. If and when they repent, be there ready to bring them in. Watch for them, but avoid them. You cannot avoid that which you are not watching. Did you get that? For me to avoid them, it means that I have to keep my eye on them, watching them. Why? To be able to bring them into the fold when they repent. Get that? It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ." They that are such serve not our Lord. But what? Their own belly. And by good words, watch this, and by what? Good words and what? Fair speeches deceive what? The hearts of the what? Simple. The simple in this case, the fool. How many people have you seen just deceived? What's going on here? How can't you see that? Well, because it says by words, good words. Something's wrong there. Because if they are generating offenses, they can't be speaking good words. How do people get deceived? Do you think the fruit that Adam and Eve ate was a sour fruit, ugly fruit? What does the Word of God say about the fruit? It was pleasant, good to the eyes. What snares people is not what is obviously ugly. Good words and mean speeches. Is that what it says? What does it say? Fair speeches. Deceive the hearts of the simple. Why? You're not discerning. You're not seeing through it. You're not seeing through it. And God calls you and I to see through all of the talk, to identify the spirit that is behind it. A Jezebelic spirit speaks good, not always bad. You know, it's politics time, and it's amazing how politicians speak. Politicians, many times, bring unrelated stuff to a particular issue and make you believe that all of this stuff is really connected to this issue. I was listening to one of them just yesterday, talking about women's health and about abortion and promoting abortion and stuff like that. And now goes from that and starts talking about women's health and, oh, women go through all these issues, menopause and flashes and all of that, and women go through all of this, and pulled all of that stuff that nobody's talking about. People really, they're talking about abortion. They're not talking about all this other stuff. Nobody's against all of these other health issues that women go through. But now you're going to grab all of that and put it with abortion. Yes, we must look at the... women are going through all kinds of stuff. Abortion! What on earth? How did that whole thing come in here? It is deception. Just like I just showed to you a moment ago. 12 months in a year, 4 weeks in a month, 52 weeks in a year. We've got some problems here, because if it is 4 weeks in a month and 12 months in a year, there's got to be 48 weeks. It's not today that I started figuring that out. When they said to me 52 weeks in a year, I said, but there is 4 weeks in a month and there is 12 months. Somebody's doing some wrong math. There's got to be 48 weeks in a year. I was maybe 6 or 7 years old when I found out there was a discrepancy. And lo and behold, if you just separate 52 from 48, you got 4 weeks. That's a whole month. So there's got to be 13 months in a year. No, it's not true. It's all the suppressions that were removed for the deception of the simple. You're simplifying things and causing people to be simple in mind. You've got to think through things and recognize that there are people that act nice, speak nice, and all they want to do is separate you from the heart of God. He says, for your obedience is come abroad, Paul says, unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. He says, because the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The enablement of God be with you. And no matter what you're going through, God is saying to every one of us, just hold your peace. I have your case on my mind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One of the things that you've got to get rid of if you're going to experience the abundance of God, the blessings of God in your life, is learn how not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And he goes, he says, I'm not talking about unbelievers in the world. I'm talking about unbelievers close to you. Because if you don't hang around those other unbelievers, you will not have any friends. Paul said that. But you have to watch. Be careful. It is the one close to you that is speaking deceptive words into your life that can contaminate you and corrupt you. So he says, join in yourself. Evil companionship will do what? Corrupt good manners. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you watch, because if you don't watch, you get yourself ensnared. You get yourself snared by the enemy. Many years ago, I remember where I was driving down Selkirk Avenue, heading home. I had with me a young man. At that time, he had lost a member of his family, and we were housing him, we're keeping him in our home, just to minister to him. He was well-to-do. He had his own house and all of that. But we didn't want him to stay in his house because he was very disturbed in his heart. The wife had died from an accident. And so we brought him home. He was with us for I don't know how long. But I would say no less than 2 weeks. And one day we're driving down, and I started talking with this young man. I said, I'm going through some tight financial situations right now. He said, you are? I said, yeah. He said, do you tithe? I said, yes. He said, that's your problem. I said, I said, what did you say? And I'm the pastor. I am his pastor. He says, that's your problem. Tithing. I said, what do you mean? He said, all that money that you give into the church, use it and solve your problem. And when you are okay, then figure out whether you're going to tithe. I didn't say anything. Well, guess what the pastor did? I did not tithe. I followed his corrupt language. Did things get better for me? Nope. Everything started falling apart. My washing machine, kaput. Dryer, kaput. Everything started falling apart in the house. I cried out to the Lord, God, what is happening? He said, don't tithe. So I repented. And I changed my thinking. And would you know, my broken appliances received healing from the Lord. Did you hear what I said? That means they got fixed supernaturally. Did you get what I just said? God reduced my rent. That was almost $300 to $19 without me asking. Are you hearing me? Following the ways of man made sense. It makes sense. If I don't give that 10%, I'll at least have 10%. Makes sense, right? But not in the economy of God. You see, people many times think, I'm not giving to God, that means I'm keeping something. No, you're not. Your money is going out the other way. Because everybody, whether you like it or not, it is a spiritual law. You are going to give, whether you like it or not. You either give it to God and have His blessings, or you're going to give it to the doctor, the mechanic, the appliance fixer, whatever. You're going to give it somewhere. Because there are going to be holes in your pocket. So if you don't want holes in your pocket, seal it up. Because when you surrender to God, the abundance of God will come into your life. It may not be the way that you think or how you think, but this I can assure you, God will keep you and establish you in your going in and going out. Amen? The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord, is a strong what? Tower. The righteous runneth into it and is what? Safe. But watch this. It says the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. When your focus is on material stuff, I'm building that, the end result is conceit. Pride. Guess what God hates? God hates pride. And if you all you're doing is building, he says, the name of the Lord is a strong what? Tower. But then it says the rich man's wealth is a what? Strong city. The tower and the city, which is bigger? The city. So in the natural, it seems like when you are not doing the will of God, you are doing something great. You are bigger, but you are not secure. It takes the tower, the name of the Lord, to secure you. Praise the Lord. So where do you invest yourself, your time, your resources? In your own natural mind and thinking? Or are you focused on doing what God's word says? If you and I are going to rise, we're going to rise because of God's grace and God's power operational in our lives. In Mark 8 and verse 34, he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, you come after me, you seek after me. He says, let him deny what? Himself, and take up his what? Cross, and follow me. Take up his cross. What is the cross representing? The place of sacrifice, place of death. He says, take up your cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What is it that we do when we, what was it that I was doing when I didn't tithe? I was trying to save my life. I was trying to solve my problem. He says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall what? Save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Priorities. Psalm 20. I'm going to start from verse 1, but 7 and 8 are the verses that I want to concentrate on. It says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hear thee in the what? Day of trouble. Take note of that. There is the hearing in the day of what? Trouble. I believe Mama read something about that earlier today, about this day of trouble in Psalm 27. The name of the God of Jacob, what? Defend thee. His name is our strong tower. And the name of God of Jacob, defend thee. How does God defend us? He says he will defend us with wisdom and with money. Praise the Lord. He says, may that God send thee help from where? The sanctuary. And strengthen thee out of Zion. I was sharing with the saints yesterday or 2 days ago about that word Zion. Zion means a parched place. Doesn't sound right, but that's what Zion means. A parched place. And what does God, you know, putting out, postulating when talked about strengthening thee out of this parched place? It is God saying, I'm going to satisfy you from a place that you didn't expect. It's a parched place. But out of this parched place, I'm going to produce greatness in you and through you, for the mountain of the Lord, there shall be deliverance. God hides good things in past places. Because nobody's expecting anything from there. But he has treasure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, may he remember all thy what? Let God remember all your offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Which means that if God can accept your burnt sacrifice, that he can also refuse to accept. He said, but I'm praying that God will remember all of thy offerings. My prayer today is that God will remember every offering that you and I have given and released unto him. God, remember my offerings. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible tells us about Cornelius. The angel of the Lord came to this Gentile. If we can go there to Acts chapter 10 for a quick moment, and we'll come back to Psalm 20. He says, and there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He says, this man was a devout man, one that what? Feared God with all his house. We gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Notice the connection, alms and pray to God always. He says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, nine representing a time of productivity, of fruitfulness, of birthing. He saw evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy what? Prayers and what? Thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Two things, prayers and alms. He says, now send to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. And Peter is up in the top of the building. This is Cornelius. He's a centurion. He's not a Jew. But he is giving alms. He's doing the things of God. And God dispatches an angel to speak to him. Why? Because God could see in this man that he could trust him to continue to do what he was presently doing. He was going to sponsor the gospel. And everyone who commits themselves to sponsor the gospel of God, I tell you what, God will send you supernatural help. It's just the way it is. Once upon a time, I thought God was a bad businessman. You know, I've told you that story. But God knows those that come in covenant with Him, and God fights for them, and God helps them. There is a particular passage of Scripture in the Psalms that talks about how precious the death of a righteous man is to God. And I pondered that. Why is it so precious to God, the death of a righteous man? He said, because that is one of my supporters. And for him to die means I need to find somebody else to support what I'm doing. Because God doesn't do anything in the earth here, but he works through people. Praise the Lord. So when we pray, oh God, provide for our church, God is looking at me. What are you going to do about it? Can I trust you? And in our, because ultimately, are you ready for this? Ultimately, tithing is God's way of bringing us from a place of being people that are self-centered and selfish to people that become generous. God's true divine purpose is generosity. God wants you generous. Amen? Tithing is just a way to prime us. So people who don't tithe cannot truly say they are generous. Because if God cannot deal with you there, he can't deal with you anywhere else. Amen? So yes, centurion. And when God was reaching out to the Gentiles, he found somebody that was generous. You get it? Let's go back to Psalm 20. He says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifices. And watch this. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Grant thee according to thine own heart. 1 Corinthians 9 says, every one of us must give according to how we have decided. From our hearts. And fulfill all thy counsel. That's a statement that is just mind-blowing. And fulfill all thy counsel. What is that? The counsel that is brought forth out of wisdom. It says, God, fulfill all thy counsel. But beyond that, it is that whatever it is that you say comes to pass. You are advised to do something, he says, I will back it up. Or Job will put it this way in Job 20, or is it 22? Job 22 and verse 22. Starts here. It says, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. That's the word of God. And lay up his words in thine what? Heart. It says, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then, when you put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles and you've returned to the Lord, it says, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and gold and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yet the Almighty shall do what? Shall be thy defense. And thou shalt have what? Plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. You're going to be able to lift up your face unto God while you've returned unto God with all of your heart. He says, you're going to be able to lift up your face unto God. He says, watch this, thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall what? Hear thee. And thou shalt what? Pay thy vows. You're going to be able to honor the pledges that you make. Your heart has been turned unto God. God is going to hear your prayer, and you'll be able to honor your commitments to God and to people, the vows that you've made, the things that you've decided, I'm going to do such and such. God says, I'm going to make it happen. He says, I'm going to so do it, as you do that, that you'll be able to do what? Decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and thy light, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Whichever way, whichever direction you want to go, it says light is going to shine there, so you don't have to stumble. But it starts with my heart turning to God, seeking first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto me. Amen? This is God speaking to us. Now let's go back to Psalm 20. He'll grant according to thine own heart and fulfill thy counsel. That's the decreeing of a thing. And it's going to be established. He says, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. We'll set up banners in the name of our God. Banners were displays that people used when they went to war. Jehovah Nissi, God, my banner. Amen? And basically what the word of God is saying is, as you're going out in life, there's going to be banners that are declaring war against the devil's war. Why? You got a backing. You have somebody backing you. And how is this person backing you? Because your interest and focus is in what he's focused on. There's not a thing that I have that God did not give to me. Praise the Lord. It says, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Every petition that you place, he'll provide. Why? The banner is a banner of warring against the enemy. What is my money doing? My money, my resources are declaring war on the devil's war. Praise the Lord. In fact, in our giving, we have we have our checking account, we have a savings account, and then we have one called war chest. That war chest, that's where we tap into to sow around, to do missions. We go to war chest. It is the banner. Every time you're giving, we are raising up a banner unto the Lord. Amen? And why? What will happen? The Lord will fulfill our petitions. He says, now know that I, the Lord, save it. He's anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Remember what Isaiah 41:10 tells us. He says, we should not be afraid or dismayed, because God is our God. God is with us, and God will help us, and he will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Praise God. When we connect to God, God connects with us. He says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will do what? Remember the name of the Lord our God. Because when we raise those banners, we are not trusting in chariots. We are not trusting in riches. We are remembering the name of the Lord. Every time you remember the name of the Lord, that he is your God, he is your provider, he is your peace, he is your righteousness, he is your sanctification, he is everything, he is your healer. Praise the Lord. He's your good shepherd who causes you to lack nothing. You remember him. He says, when you have communion, remember me. What is the communion about? It's about the death of Jesus Christ. It's also about his death. It's also about his resurrection. Praise the Lord. And the first time he did that, at the Passover, he said there was not one weak nor feeble in their midst. And they came out with silver and with gold. And he says, remember the Passover. Praise God. You are in covenant relationship with the Lord. It says here, watch this. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. They are what? Brought down. Who does the word of God say he brings down? The proud, whose trust is in his chariots and in his horses and whatever it is that he has built. I'm a self-made man. He says, you're coming down, man. Save, Lord. The king, hear us when we call. What king? God the king, but also kings, men around you that have a capacity that you get heard. Not every person gets heard. Some people get heard. Let me put it this way. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Now, we are not called to be respect of persons. True? Well, let me ask you a question. If you gave $1 million to somebody of importance, and somebody else gave $10, and both of you come to the office of that guy, who is going to go inside first? $10? The million. Guess what? God is the same. But it's not about 10 and a million. No. Because the guy may have given a million and he could have given a billion. And the guy that gave 10 gave everything. God checks the heart. It's not the amount. It is a commitment of the heart. That's why the Bible tells us very specifically, Jesus sat by the treasury and he was watching how people gave. And here comes this woman and throws in 2 mites, less than a cent. And Jesus says, watch that. That woman just gave more than everybody else. Everybody else came and gave their thousands and their hundreds of thousands. She gave 2 mites and she outgave all of them. They gave out of their plenty. She gave from the midst of her lack. Do you think that woman said that way? I'm sure he just looked at Judas. Judas, bring the money back. Give it to her. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that part, but we can assume because that's how he works. He got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he sent home with that young boy 12 baskets. God is positioning you and I for abundance. Amen? In Psalm 50, let me go back. Oh, we're done with that. Psalm 50. And verse 23. Wow. The word of God says, whoso offered praise glorified me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Now, that particular statement, and I encourage you to go home and read through Psalm 50. That particular statement comes from a particular context. Let's start from verse 1 through 5. Psalm 50, verse 1 through 5. The mighty God, even the Lord, had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. He called the earth. What is God calling the earth to do? Well, Psalm 67. Now coming back to 50. Psalm 67 and verse 5 tells us what God does. It says, let all the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield what? Her increase. So there's increase in the earth that needs to be yielded. And it gets yielded because of our praise. Amen? Then shall the earth yield and increase, and God, even our own God, shall do what? Bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise the Lord. God has blessings on his mind, and God is going to command the earth to yield its increase to us. What earth? That earth. But what earth? The people. How many of you know that God created us from the earth? Yes? So when God speaks the command, the earth, people, things, minerals, whatever, they will yield increase into our hands, into our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Back to 50. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, another psalm says, the name of the Lord shall be what? praised. Thanksgiving. Out of Zion, out of the past place, the perfection of beauty. The past place looks ugly. Past land, Zion. But the perfection of beauty, why God had shined. Oh, wait. In the beginning, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says in verse 2 that the earth was void, it was shapeless, it was a mess. And God said, what? Let there be what? Light. What is God saying? God is going to speak light and enlightenment into your life and into my life that will cause my bad situation all of a sudden to reflect His glory. Praise the Lord. It says, back to Isaiah 50, Psalm 50. Thank you so very much for your help. He says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. In other words, He's going to speak. A fire shall devour before Him. Devour what? Every entanglement, everything that's chained you and limited you. It says that entanglement shall be burnt up. And it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. And He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints. Watch this. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice. Gather my saints together unto me. Who are these saints? Those that have made a covenant with me by what? Sacrifice. People that have not made covenant with Him by sacrifice are not addressed by God as saints. Did you hear that? If you are a saint in God and God calls us to be saints, you have to make covenant with Him by sacrifice. He says, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness. The heavens shall declare His righteousness. Declare the righteousness of who? The one who's made covenant with Him. And God will be judge on who that person is. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. This is God speaking and saying, listen, everything I'm talking to you about, you sacrificing, it's not because I need it. I'm not going to come here and go grab stuff and take stuff. No, you're going to have to do it freely from your heart. He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the wild beast of the field, that's mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, if that were possible, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I can take anything I want to take. It's all mine. He said, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? He says, but do this. Offer unto God thanksgiving. And pay thy vows unto the Most High. And Job 22 will say, and you will decree a thing, and it shall be established. He says, and then call upon me in the day of trouble. When trouble comes, because you have offered unto me, verse 14, thanksgiving, paid our vows unto the Most High, he says, in the day of trouble, you can call on me, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But that's all that. This is the part that I want to concentrate on. Verse 16. He says, but unto the wicked, not the saint, unto this wicked, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, declare my promises? Who gave you the right? Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth, saying that thou hatest instruction and casted my words behind thee. Even as I'm talking now, all this while, there are people who are casting a word. Pastor, finish this message. You're not going to get my money. Nobody's coming for your money. I'm just showing to you the basis of the word of God and what the promises of God is. Amen? I'm reminding those that have been faithful in giving, and there have been many in this house that have been faithful. They give, and they give, and they give again, and they give again, and they give again. I'm speaking to you. Know why you're giving. It may seem like nothing is changing, but everything is changing in your favor. And for those that have not done so, check out the promise of God. In fact, in Malachi, it says, test me in this and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Praise the Lord. He says, seeing thou hatest instruction and casted my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him. That's what I did. Because the guy who's telling me not to tithe definitely was not tithing. That makes sense? Because if he was tithing, he would not be telling me not to tithe. He says, when thou sawest a thief, that's when I should have said, what do you mean by that? Do you mean you don't tithe? But I consented with him. And that very moment, I became wicked. Get it? I moved myself from being a saint to being a wicked person in the sight of God. He says, and has been partaker with adulterers. Net result, you will start floundering all over the place because you do not know from whence your help comes. He says, thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit, deception. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Watch this. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thee, thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. We are now in terms of the framing and timings of God. We've moved into an arena where things, let's put it this way. Before your light bulb goes out, what does it do? It gets brighter and then it's gone. True? Okay. We're about to step into what seems to be brightness, and then collapse. Did you hear that? Okay. Don't be part of that fake brightness, because it's not going to last. Because everything is going to be shaken. And the best investment you can make in your life is an investment into souls, into being in alignment with the will of God. God will show you how other things are going to line up. He'll grant you wisdom and insight and understanding and direction. Because as you acknowledge Him, He will do what? Direct your path. He will show you what to put your resource in and when to take it out. You are not going to suffer loss like the rest of the world, because God's guidance is going to direct you in remarkable ways. So I don't know anything about shares. I don't know anything about bonds. I don't know anything about... Don't worry about that. That's not the big deal. Your focus is not in chariots and horses. It is in the abundance of God coming into your life supernaturally. Someone says supernaturally. But God is not going to make me a bigger thief if I have not learned how to give now. Oh God, when you bless me, when I get my first million, then I will start doing. You're not going to do it. You're not. If you've not started now, you're not going to do it then. I'm reminded about what's happening in the politics down south. I'm going to do this. You've been in power for so long. If you can do it, you should have done it already. That's what I'm saying to those people right now. No. You have something now. What's in your hand? Do something with that, and God will bless it. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. There's no Mount Zion for you, but there is deliverance. He says, but offer praise. That's going to glorify me. And to him that ordereth his conversation, his relationships, his confession aright, he says, I'm going to show the salvation of God. Amen? There's so much more to talk about and share, but we'll leave that for another day. Tonight, or rather this morning, refresh your mind about the importance of relating with God in covenant relationship by sacrifice. I want you to know that every time that you sow your seed, you're not giving it to a man. You're handing it over to the high priest of your confession. Who, watch this, whose priesthood was not like the Aaronic priesthood, but the priesthood of Melchizedek. Who's Melchizedek? He's a high priest of Jerusalem and also the king. Amen? And when Abraham had gone to war and won that battle, he came back and he gave offerings, tithes and offerings to this high priest, king. And he was blessed. Blessed be Abraham. Hallelujah. Possessor of heaven and earth. I remember Mama came to me years ago and said, oh, this is about Abraham being a possessor of heaven and earth. I said, nah, can't be. It's got to be about God. God is the possessor of heaven and earth. Until one day the Lord says, what are you thinking? I was talking about Abraham. How is he possessor of heaven and earth? Oh, because he has the power of access. And by his giving, when he gave, I affirm his counsel. He has power with me. Mama was right after all. You need to have your portion. I need to have my portion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us have grown in the understanding of the Word of God, because we all grow. I came to the decision. No more tithing. I'm not going to be giving God 10%. In fact, when I tithe, I'm not giving at all. I'm giving that which belongs to God back to God. I'm not giving anything. So from now on, I will be generous. I'll give generously unto the Lord. I will ask of the Lord, what do you want today? How can I assist today? And I will say, this is how much I want from you. I say, here it is. Because I found out, if God asks me to give him 10,000 and I don't have 10,000, I can say, thank you, Jesus. 10,000 is coming, plus. Hallelujah. So let's get ready to experience God. And this being the last Sunday of the month, it is also our Mission Sunday, which means that we don't just give what we give generally, but today also we are going to give above that. We're going to give for missions. Amen? So give something extra for missions today. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your manifold blessings bestowed upon us. What a privilege for us to be able to give to you anything at all. Thank you, Father, for it. We ask, oh God, that you will speak over our offerings. Speak over the tithes of your people. Speak over the vows and the pledges that your people have made. And Lord, oh God, glorify your name in us and through us. Let it be unto us according to thy word. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of covenant. We come into covenant relationship by sacrifice. And we call gathered now everyone that you have declared to be a saint. Do in each life extraordinary things, and shut up every voice of division and offense. Bring to naught every activity of the evil one. For you, O God, art our defender and defense. Take up shield and buckler and fight for us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we share in communion, please come and honor God with your giving. And as you give, remember to give something towards missions. I have not mentioned this publicly to you. But I mentioned this for you to pray and believe God with me. It was in July. I was down south. And the Lord commissioned me to do something. He said to me, he said, I'm commissioning you to go through all 50 states of the United States. He said, I want to step into every state and prophesy in every state as I send you. I said, Lord, I think you're talking to the wrong person. How am I going to do that? What money am I, do I have? Are we going to start again with that? Okay, I repent. He says, and after you finish the U.S., then I want you to go across Canada. I said, wow, this is going to be a busy schedule. So I'm trusting God to help me accomplish that great assignment. And on this Sunday in October, I ask that God will arise and grant us grace. Oh, it's all grace, isn't it? It's all grace to be able to do it. That God will connect me to the right places, because there are portals. There are particular places where God wants a word declared that will span through so much area. So I'm looking forward to that. I asked the Lord, I said, why the U.S. and then Canada? He said, because that's where I took you first. I took you to the U.S. I blessed you in the U.S. And then when you're done with that, you come to Canada. And I believe the Lord will give us Canada. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're going to pray about it? Partner with us to see that assignment fulfilled? Then pray on how you can be part of it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Mama, please come. Oh, and while Mama is coming, please make note of this date, November the 8th. Someone say November 8th. One more time, November 8th. November the 8th, we're going to have a very special service. I didn't know about it until this morning when I was here praying early in the day. The Lord says, November the 8th, I want you to pray and impact all of the children for the protection of their destiny and for the fulfillment of their destiny. Amen? So November the 8th, bring your children, your grandchildren, bring yourself. It's going to be a service of impartation. And those of you online, you might not be here physically, but we want you to be an active participant, and we're going to release the blessings of God. Because we don't have time to waste. Try to figure out this. What should I do? No, no, no. You're going to know early what it is that you're going to do, what your courses are, what your assignment is, and you, like an arrow, are going to be shot to your particular target. Amen? So parents, did you hear? Parents? Okay. What date? November 8th. What time? 6:30 p.m. Mark it down. Be here. All right. Rise with me.
Praise God. this is the body of Christ. Jesus took bread, broke it, and said, this is my body. So when we take this, we're taking his wholeness. So every part of you that is broken, whether it's health, finance, family, anything, relationship, dreams, career, may you take wholeness.
Amen.
From the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Take and eat.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. As we take off this cup, let every form of defilement, every contradiction to the purposes of God in our lives be immediately removed. Whatever God has not planted in our lives cannot stay even a nanosecond. It must be uprooted now. Take off this cup, drink, and receive full wholeness in Jesus' mighty name.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have taken of your bread and of your blood. We took of your body. We thank you for wholeness restored.
Thank you, Jesus.
In all our lives, every area of our lives. Mm. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus.
Yes, Father.
That blood that keeps us safe, that speaks better things about our lives. It speaks strength, it speaks health, it speaks promotion, it speaks victory, it speaks success, it speaks divine health, it speaks divine wealth, it speaks divine joy,
yes,
it speaks divine wholeness,
yes,
it speaks great things,
yes,
it speaks strength and courage,
yes, Father.
It speaks promotion.
Our Father.
It speaks the Lord is with us.
Yes.
The Lord is our portion.
Yes.
In the land of the living.
Amen.
It speaks peace and joy in our families.
Hallelujah.
And in our home.
Oh,
it speaks goodness.
Mm.
It speaks mercy.
Yes.
It speaks so many wonderful things. And it says we belong to the Heavenly Father.
Yes.
So we receive all these many blessings.
In Jesus'
and
name.
Lord, make us a blessing.
Amen.
As you have blessed us.
Hallelujah.
May we become people who give generously.
Amen.
For you've given us everything. You did not give us the finger of God only. You gave us complete Jesus.
Yes.
May we learn to give in every area that you've called us to.
Amen.
May we not close our eyes when there is a need.
Mm.
May we be people who give generously.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We give to the household of faith.
Amen.
We give to siblings.
Amen.
We give to relatives.
Amen.
We give to church family.
Amen.
We give to our pastors.
Amen.
We give to our church.
Amen.
We give to our businesses.
Amen.
We give to our orphans and widows.
Amen.
We give to people, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We do the work of the living God.
Yes,
we do Isaiah 58.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, let our light rise speedily.
Mm.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And be our rewarder.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Lord, we'll cut off from those that are on YouTube and Facebook and other platforms at this time. And we'll greet those that are on